Good morning, Symphony Church. We are continuing in the Gospel of John, and today we'll be reading from John chapter 2. John 2. On the third day, there was a wedding at Cana in Galilee, and the mother of Jesus was there. Jesus also was invited to the wedding with his disciples. When the wine ran out, the mother of Jesus said to him, "They have no wine." And Jesus said to her, "Woman, what does this have to do with me? My hour has not yet come." His mother said to the servants, "Do whatever he tells you." Now there were 6 stone water jars there for the Jewish rites of purification, each holding 20 or 30 gallons. Jesus said to the servants, "Fill the jars with water." And they filled them up to the brim. And he said to them, "Now draw some out and take it to the master of the feast." So they took it. When the master of the feast tasted the water now become wine and did not know where it came from, though the servants who had drawn the water knew, the master of the feast called the bridegroom and said to him, "Everyone serves the good wine first, and when people have drunk freely, then the poor wine. But you have kept the good wine until now." This, the first of his signs, Jesus did at Cana in Galilee and manifested his glory, and his disciples believed in him. After this, he went down to Capernaum with his mother and his brothers and his disciples, and they stayed there for a few days. The Passover of the Jews was at hand, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. In the temple, he found those who were selling oxen and sheep and pigeons, and the money changers sitting there. And making a whip of cords, he drove them all out of the temple with the sheep and oxen. And he poured out the coins of the money changers and overturned their tables. And he told those who sold the pigeons, "Take these things away. Do not make my father's house a house of trade." His disciples remembered that it was written, "Zeal for your house will consume me." So the Jews said to him, "What sign do you show us for doing these things?" Jesus answered them, "Destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will raise it up." The Jews then said, "It has taken 46 years to build this temple, and will you raise it up in 3 days?" But he was speaking about the temple of his body. When therefore he was raised from the dead, his disciples remembered that he had said this, and they believed the scripture and the word that Jesus had spoken. Now when he was in Jerusalem at the Passover feast, many believed in his name when they saw the signs that he was doing. But Jesus, on his part, did not entrust himself to them, because he knew all people and needed no one to bear witness about man, for he himself knew what was in man. Amen.
All right, so in today's chapter, we see the beginning of Jesus' earthly ministry, with the miracle of water being turned into wine. This is a very well-known miracle attributed to Jesus, but it's also an interesting one because it's one of his most removed miracles. And what I mean by this is that throughout the entire scene at the wedding at Cana, Jesus barely takes part in the actual miracle. His involvement is quite indirect, in that most, if not all, the actual work is done by the servants at the wedding. Jesus simply provides them with instructions. And this is odd because we know from other parts of the gospel narrative that Jesus is usually very hands-on when miracles happen. He rubs mud into the blind man's eyes. He travels to Lazarus's tomb and commands him with his own voice for Lazarus to rise, etc. And yet, Jesus' glory was still manifested, and people came to believe in him. How? Well, I think we can look at the servants at the wedding. If you place yourself in their shoes, you were likely finding yourself in quite a wacky situation. You just ran out of wine at the wedding, which is on the list for one of the worst things that could happen in those times. And this woman points to her son and tells you, "Do whatever he tells you." And the son first instructs you to fill 6 jars with 20 to 30 gallons of water each. You have no idea how this is going to fix your wine problem, but you do as he asks. And then when that's finally done, the son then tells you to serve this water to the master of the feast as wine. Now that makes no sense to you whatsoever, but you do it anyway. And to your amazement, the water turns into wine, and the master of the house serves it to the wedding, calling it the best wine. Now, we don't know what motivations allowed the servants to remain obedient throughout this puzzling sequence of events. Remember, at this point, Jesus wasn't known as a miracle worker yet, and he hadn't made any claims as to what kind of power or authority he had. But still, they trusted Jesus and obeyed his commands. And because of this trust and obedience, the servants ended up taking part in a miracle. For us, I think our faith should follow the same pathway. When we trust Jesus and obey his commands, even when the path isn't the straightest and we're not completely sure why he's calling us this way or that, when we trust him, we can have our eyes opened to his glory on display. You may have heard me share this story before, but I went to a mission trip with Symphony back in 2018 to Cincinnati, Ohio. And the night before the trip, as I was packing my carry-on, I randomly prayed, "God, is there anything I haven't packed that you want me to take with me? Anything?" And to my surprise, I felt with every bone in my body that God wanted me to pack this beat-up old stuffed lion that I had sitting around. I didn't see how in the world this could benefit me or the team, but I brought it anyway because, well, why not? Fast forward to the trip, and during our VBS, the skit team that I was on realized that we were short-staffed for one of our skits. We were able to fill all the roles written out for us, except for the big villain, which was, you guessed it, a lion. And my team leader asked out loud, "Where are we going to find a lion?" And you can imagine how the rest of the story goes. It was the smallest and most trivial act of obedience that led me to bring that stuffed lion, but it led me to see a glimpse of God's provision and his glory, and the kids loved that skit with the lion. For us, there are going to be many times where we can follow the servant's example. There are going to be many, many times where Jesus is going to give you the next step in God's plan, and it might not make any sense. You might not be able to tell why he's calling you to do this or to change directions in this way. But remember, we serve a God that is far above human wisdom and understanding. His plan is vast and intricate and miraculous. And the best way for us to be in that plan and to witness his glory is to humbly obey in faith. Let's pray. Lord, we humbly declare that we are your servants and that we will obey. Lord, would you help us to lay aside any desire to need the full picture before we obey, or for things to have to make sense to us, for us to follow in faith. Instead, may we just truly trust that you are guiding us far better than we can guide ourselves, that you are holding us to your plan, and that so long as we are obedient and we are faithful, that we will see amazing things happen as we continue in the faith. So Lord, I pray for my brothers and sisters. May they be able to take those small steps today, and may it all be for your glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.